Chapter 21, From Labor to Productivity. The Labor Economy. For most of the modern era, labor was at the center of economic life. Workers provided labor. Labor produced output. Output generated income. Income flowed back into consumption, investment, and further production. The relationship between capital and labor was relatively clear. Capital owners provided machines and finance. Workers provided labor. The resulting income was divided between them, with the balance shaped by markets, unions, institutions, and politics. The labor economy was never perfect. It produced inequality, exploitation, and conflict. But its basic mechanism was stable. People worked, earned income, consumed, and contributed to production. That mechanism is now changing. Automation is allowing machines to perform an increasing share of productive activity. As this happens, productivity becomes more important while labor becomes less central to the production process. The question is no longer simply how much the economy produces. It is who captures the value when fewer people are required to produce it. The productivity economy. The emerging productivity economy is powered increasingly by machines, software, AI, and capital, rather than human labor alone. Its defining characteristic is not that workers disappear. Many forms of work will remain. The change is that output can increasingly rise without a proportional increase in human labor. In this economy, productivity becomes a primary source of economic value. Labor becomes a smaller component of production. Capital becomes more important because machines embody productive capacity. The distribution of income shifts toward whoever owns that productive capacity. Consider a simplified example. A factory once employed 1,000 workers to produce $100 million of output. Suppose automation allows 100 workers to produce the same output. The productive capacity of the factory has increased dramatically. But the distribution of the resulting income has changed as well. If the productivity gains flow primarily to the owners of the machines, the economy can produce just as much while providing far less labor income. That is the central distributional problem of the productivity economy. The new factor shares. As technology changes production, the traditional division between labor and capital changes with it. When machines replace tasks previously performed by workers, demand for some forms of labor falls. When machines become more productive, the return on productive capital can rise. When ownership of that capital is concentrated, the resulting gains can become concentrated as well. This creates a potentially self-reinforcing pattern. More automation to fewer labor requirements, to greater returns to productive capital, to greater concentration of ownership, to greater concentration of income. The issue is not that capital is inherently harmful. Capital is what makes technological progress possible. The issue is how the gains from increasingly productive capital are distributed. If productivity rises while household purchasing power stagnates, the economy can face a strange problem. Its capacity to produce grows faster than its capacity to distribute purchasing power. That is where the old labor-based economic model begins to strain. The distribution of productivity gains. Productivity gains do not automatically distribute themselves evenly. Their distribution depends on bargaining power, ownership, institutions, taxation, competition, and public policy. When workers are essential to production, they have greater leverage to negotiate for a share of productivity gains. When machines can perform more of their tasks, that leverage can decline. Capital owners, meanwhile, can capture a larger share when productive assets become more valuable. But this distribution is not predetermined. Society can choose how the gains are shared. That is the important point. The question is not whether productivity will increase. AI makes substantial productivity gains increasingly plausible. The question is whether those gains remain concentrated among the owners of productive capital or become a broader source of prosperity. The productivity bond and productivity dividend are designed around the second possibility. The new social contract. The old social contract was largely built around employment. Work to wages to consumption, to taxes to public services. If employment becomes less central to production, that structure must evolve. A productivity economy requires a social contract in which participation in prosperity is not determined entirely by participation in the labor market. The productivity dividend provides one mechanism. A portion of productivity-linked revenue can be distributed broadly, giving citizens a direct share of the gains generated by increasing productive efficiency. The new system would also require other institutions. Education and retraining for workers whose roles change. Social support during periods of transition. Competition policy to prevent productive technologies from becoming unnecessarily concentrated. Investment in public infrastructure that allows productivity gains to spread. Financial instruments that connect returns to productive performance rather than relying entirely on conventional growth. The objective is not to eliminate work. It is to ensure that a society capable of producing more with less does not leave people with less simply because less human labor is required. The role of capital. Capital becomes more important as automation increases. AI systems, computing infrastructure, robotics, energy systems, data centers, and other productive assets require investment. The owners of these assets therefore have a legitimate claim on the returns they generate. The problem arises when productive ownership becomes so concentrated that most citizens receive little benefit from rising productivity. Capital owners are not necessarily villains. They are responding to the incentives of the system. If the system rewards the accumulation of productive assets, capital will accumulate. The solution is therefore not simply to blame capital. It is to redesign the incentives around it. The productivity bond does this by linking financial returns to measurable productivity, rather than relying solely on the expansion of economic output. The broader objective is to make increasing productivity beneficial not only to those who own the machines, but also to the society in which those machines operate. The role of labor. Labor will not disappear, but its economic role may change substantially. Some jobs will be automated. Others will be transformed. New occupations will emerge. Human skills such as judgment, relationships, creativity, leadership, care, and physical presence may remain valuable even as many cognitive and routine tasks become automated. The deeper change is that employment may no longer be the primary mechanism through which people access economic prosperity. That distinction matters. For centuries, income, social status, identity, and purpose have been closely connected to work. If technology separates production from employment, society will have to reconsider that relationship. A person should not become economically irrelevant simply because a machine can perform their previous task more efficiently. The productivity economy therefore needs a broader definition of contribution and prosperity. The productivity dividend. The productivity dividend is one mechanism for making that transition. It would distribute a portion of productivity-linked revenue to citizens. Potential funding sources could include AI and automation-related royalties or taxes, returns from sovereign investments in productive technologies, public equity holdings, productivity-linked fiscal revenues, and other mechanisms that capture a share of productivity gains. The purpose is straightforward. When the economy becomes more productive, society shares in the improvement. The dividend performs several functions. It distributes gains. Productivity becomes a source of broadly shared income, rather than exclusively private returns. It supports consumption. People who receive a share of productivity gains retain purchasing power, even when employment becomes less secure. It stabilizes the transition. Citizens have a financial connection to technological progress, rather than experiencing automation solely as a threat. It aligns incentives. Rising productivity creates a visible public benefit. The dividend is therefore not simply a welfare payment. In the proposed system, it is a mechanism for converting technological productivity into shared economic prosperity. The transition. Moving from a labor-centered economy to a productivity-centered economy will not happen overnight. It requires changes in financial institutions, public policy, education, taxation, ownership structures, and expectations. The financial system must increasingly recognize productivity as a source of sustainable returns. The productivity bond is one step in that direction. The social contract must ensure that productivity gains reach beyond the owners of productive capital. The productivity dividend is one mechanism for doing so. Education must adapt as the value of skills changes. Workers must be able to move into roles where human capabilities remain valuable. And governments must ensure that the transition does not create unnecessary concentrations of economic or political power. None of this requires abandoning markets or private ownership. It requires recognizing that the economic foundation is changing. The labor economy rewarded participation in production, primarily through wages. The productivity economy can reward participation through a combination of wages, ownership, investment returns, and a shared productivity dividend. That is the fundamental shift. The old system asked, how many people can we employ to produce more? The new system asks, how much can we produce with fewer resources, and how do we ensure that everyone shares in the gain? That is the transition from labor to productivity.